Let's read here in Acts 11 and 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It's kind of an interesting thing that was going on, but you see the thread of the moving of the Spirit of God in that early church and what God was doing. And you see, God uses things and works in ways that many times we don't even consider that God would move that way. You notice that it starts off by saying that this was that God began to work in them as a result of the persecution of Stephen and Stephen's martyrdom. That God was even able to use adversity and trouble and even martyrdom and persecution against the church to scatter it. That's what it says there in verse 19, that they were scattered abroad upon the persecution of Stephen. Persecution has always done that. Now, for the most part, United States of America, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has not experienced all that much persecution. But who's to say what we may experience in the weeks and the months and the years that are ahead of us? We don't really know what is ahead, but we do know that in this particular example in the book of Acts, that God used persecution to scatter the church, to spread the gospel to areas where it would not have been sent had it not been for the adversity and the persecution. There's one church historian that said that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. That as martyrs down through the centuries, literally thousands and thousands of people that have given their life for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has planted the seed and scattered the seed and has caused the church to expand and to grow. So God used persecution in this particular case, and he has down through the history of the church. And if that's the way God chooses to work in these last days, if the pressure gets on and we are facing trying circumstances and maybe even facing persecution, then we need to be reminded that God has ways of working that we may not expect, or that we may not even see that His hand is in it. In Acts 1 and 8, that familiar verse, that if you go and wait and tarry in Jerusalem, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And the word literally means martyrs, that you'll lay down your life. The Spirit of God will give you the power and the ability to even lay down your life should it be necessary. Many of the people down through the years who inspire, and even today we reread of their lives and their stories and the great impact of their life, many of them ended up having to give their life for the cause. Wycliffe, John Huss, William Tyndale, Bonhoeffer, that's in just, 70 years ago, Jim Elliot and those who were with him, and others down through the years. And every day now, in our and our world, 60 nations of the world, oppose the preaching of the gospel, and people are suffering and many are losing their life for the cause of Christ. 60 nations of the world, and so far we are exempted from that. But who's to say how that God might work? But we want God to move. And we want everyone to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. We want the spreading of the gospel, the propagating of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even if it is in times of adversity and persecution. So when we think, oh, we want a move of God, do we ever think that we want to usher in times of hardship and difficulty to the church so that we can experience the hand of the Lord? Another way that God can work and did work in the early church was through changing things. The bringing about of change. You know, we don't want things to change. That's the whole nature of a conservative, is that he doesn't like things to change. But change many times is exactly how that God works. We have to expect that when there's a move of God, there's going to be changes. Amen. It's true. There will be changes. Peter had the vision, and Cornelius' house was waiting and expecting God to move. Peter ended up there preaching to people that he would have never have preached to before. It was so out of character. He reacted and resisted even being involved with the Gentiles at all. But now this vision has come to him, and he is going right in to preach the gospel in a place where he would never would have before. Let me tell you, whenever God moves, we have to be willing to move with Him. Amen? Amen. When God moves, we're going to have to be willing to move with Him. Amen. Glory to God. God uses change. And we need to expect that God, whenever He speaks and He works, that He may uproot you. He may change things in your life. He may lead you and direct you in certain ways that may be challenging and difficult for you. But change is oftentimes one of the elements of the move of God. Another thing about God's moving and working is that God uses the unlikely. God uses the unlikely. So that ought to be encouraging to you and me, that God can use you and me if we'll make ourselves available to the Lord. Amen. Abraham, mighty man of God, but yet when he was under pressure, he lied. And Moses killed a man when before he became the deliverer. He failed and was a murderer. David was just, you know, a shepherd boy and was not, you know, not expected to be a king or a leader at all. And many things in his life would have seemingly disqualified him, but yet he had a heart after God. And God used him even in spite of some of the failures of his life. God uses the unlikely. Peter and many of the other disciples were rough and, you know, untrained and uneducated, but yet they were handpicked by the Lord, and He used them to transform and to build the church. Amen. God uses the unlikely. So here's what's happened in our text, is that the door is opened up, and now Antioch becomes a center for a revival and a move of God. And you have to go over to chapter 13 to see how that God continued to work. It says there in the text we just read to you in chapter 11 that Stephen had been martyred. The door is opened now to the gospel to be spread. They're spread everywhere. And then the Jerusalem church sends Barnabas to Antioch, and he's there and he encourages them. You know, he's the son of consolation, the encourager, and he's encouraging them, and the church is being blessed and people are being added to the church in Antioch. So much so was there such a move of God there that he travels to Tarsus, the hometown of Saul, who became Paul, and gets him and says, "Come back with me." And Saul comes to Antioch with him. And for the scripture says, for a space of an entire year, they teach them, they minister to them. And historians say that at its peak, that the church at Antioch probably had as many as 100,000 Christians there. It became a hub for a move of God, and for evangelism, and for missions. And there was such a work and a move of God there. But notice in verse number 1 of chapter 13. I'm still on the part that God uses the unlikely and works by His Spirit. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and we've already been introduced to him. We know that the previous text says that the Jerusalem church sent Barnabas there. The last person in that verse is Saul, and that Barnabas had gone to Tarsus and got Saul and brought him. But there's some other guys mentioned here in verse 1. It says there were other certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger. Now this was a teacher, preacher, maybe an evangelist, but the word Niger means black, and that he was likely an African. And so was Lucius of Cyrene. He was likely a black man as well, because Cyrene was a city, an African city. So he was of Cyrene. And so there was Barnabas, the son of consolation. There is Saul, the man that was destroying the church, whose life has been turned around. And now he's the one that's brought in on this great move of God at Antioch. And now there's these two men that are likely Africans, black men that are there, that God is using them as well as prophets and teachers in the church. And so that's Simeon and Lucius. And then there's another one. His name is Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch. What in the world? Herod, the one who killed John the Baptist, because John had come in and preached to him about his adultery and his having his brother's wife. And then John is imprisoned, and eventually, his head is taken off. So how did this guy, Manaen, ever become a part of this group of people that God is using at Antioch? It doesn't really give us, but the best understanding that we have is that he was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and that this man was likely, it was a common practice for there to bring in some a young boy to be raised up with the prince. So that they would have a companion and someone to be with them all the time. And so it's likely that this young man, Manaen, was the very one that was brought in to the palace. He was probably highly educated, had all these opportunities, but he was also exposed to the preaching of John the Baptist. He heard, he may have even met John the Baptist, and he was right there in the center of all that was going on in the kingdom during those times. And so no one really knows for sure, but most historians believe that this man heard the gospel, responded to the gospel, and left the palace and became a part of the early church. And now here he is down at Antioch, who was raised up in the palace under this most wicked and vile king, but yet God plucked him out of that situation and put his hand upon him and is using him. So you see the kind of the broad spectrum of the type of people that God can use. Amen. You really want a move of God, then believe that God can use you too. He can use you. He can use all different types of people, just as we see in this example here in verse number 1. It says, as they ministered, this is verse 2, chapter 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, the key was they had all this broad spectrum of people who were evangelists and prophets and encouragers in the church at Antioch. And there was such a move of God. The grace of God was upon them that they're seeking the Lord in prayer and in fasting. And as they do, God speaks. Amen. One of the characteristics of a move of God is people are hearing the voice of the Lord. But you're only going to hear the voice of the Lord as you draw near unto the Lord. You spend time with the Lord in the presence of the Lord, as you spend time seeking Him. They were worshiping and seeking after the Lord. Amen. Do you want to be a person that is known reputation-wise? I've got life. I've got spiritual life. Just by what people think about you or think about our church. Or do you want to be a person that it's obvious that you are experiencing the work and the move of God? No, you're not dead, but you're alive. You're alive because you are being used of the Lord, and the Lord's hand is upon you. You are seeking the Lord with your whole heart, and as a result of your pursuing the Lord, He speaks to you. Amen. I tell you, you can still hear the voice of the Lord. You can hear the voice of the Lord. We know many ways that God speaks to us by His Spirit. And the Antioch church, they heard the word of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Spirit of God. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So this was a church that was hearing the voice of the Lord, and then they were acting upon it. Set them apart, sanctify them for a particular task that I have called them to perform. Amen. And we don't know how that the Lord spoke. It just says that He spoke. We don't know if it was a prophetic voice. We don't know if it was by tongues and interpretation. We don't know. All that it says is that the Holy Ghost spoke. So somehow, the heart of God, the mind of God, was communicated with that Antioch church, and they heard the word of the Lord, and they responded to what God was saying. There's no indication that they were surprised or shocked by it. It must have been just the way it was in that move of God, that they were commonly hearing the voice of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that the Lord would move that way among us, that we would hear His voice and we would recognize the voice of the Lord speaking to us. Amen. I said, the Sunday night before we left that we want a move of God. We want the presence of God in our lives, and we certainly want the presence of the Lord in our service, but we want the balance of the spontaneous with that which is in order, decent and in order. Let me tell you, the enemy, he would love to get in and to bring division and to cause problems and to hinder the voice of the Lord. So we need to pray, Lord, would You help us to join together and unite together so that we can experience the voice of the Lord. Amen. To hear God's voice. Amen. And not anything that's a distraction from what God is wanting to accomplish among us. Praise the Lord. And then when God is moving, He is sending people. The book of Acts is a book of activity. It is a book of action. Amen. It's never the characteristic of the church to be like I was in that service Sunday and I saw a bunch of people from all different backgrounds, and no doubt some of them were there because it's just the thing to do on Sunday. But likely there were people there that wanted to hear from God, hungry for God, interested in spiritual things. And, I was trying my best. I really was. I was trying, and I couldn't hardly follow the preacher, and he didn't use a lot of scripture, and he was telling a lot of, stories and things that I couldn't hardly. I was trying to get something out of it, but I'll be honest, I was struggling with it. And Kyle is a little bit more, hyper. I looked over and he was gone. And I thought, well, what's happened to him? And And so later on, he said, I just couldn't take it anymore. I just had to go out and walk around a little bit. But I did my best. I stuck in there and endured to the end. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people, hundreds of people, that are sitting in churches like that across the country. And many people are hungry for God. They're hungry. They have spiritual needs, and they've come to the house of the Lord because they have spiritual needs. And something that stirs me and grieves me is to think that there would be those that would walk into our services and needing help from God, seeking after God, wanting to hear the voice of the Lord, and there'd be no move of God among us. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to set us apart so that we can be used of the Lord, just as He did those there, that they sanctified them, set them apart. And notice in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they prayed and fasted before they heard the voice of God. Now they pray and fast to confirm the word of the Lord, to confirm that this is truly what God is doing. When they had fasted and prayed and they laid their hands upon them, they sent them away. No one could have ever have imagined that this was God's plan for the expansion of the church. This was the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. And it was during the first missionary journey that he becomes the Apostle Paul. And the first missionary journey that the church is expanding. And God is moving and then setting the pattern for the work of God to be spread throughout all of the known world. Amen. That's a move of God. Hearing the voice of the Lord, surrendering to what He is saying, what He's wanting to do, and then making yourself available to the Lord to do or to go or to say whatever it is that He wants you to say. When the Spirit of the Lord works in your life, He may commission you to go down to the end of your street and to talk to that neighbor. Amen. When you hear the voice of the Lord, He may commission you to join those that are ministering at the jail. He may commission you to some particular ministry or task that is needed in and even in other places beyond our local community right here. To give of yourself, to make of yourself available, to be strong in faith and be willing to do what the Lord is asking you to do. The book of Acts is a book of activity, a book of actions. And God is moving. And the important thing is that we move with Him. Amen. That we are moving with Him. You can't read the book of Acts, but you don't continually see the Spirit of God did this. The Holy Ghost spoke this. All continually throughout the book of Acts, it's this continual direction of the Spirit of God, a movement of the Spirit of God upon the church. And as a result of their willingness to do what the Lord tells them to do, the church expands. Hundreds and thousands are born into the kingdom of God. Amen. So do we have a name? Oh yeah, that's First Pentecostal Church. They've got a name, that they have life, spiritual life there. Is that the reputation? Well, I hope it's not only what people think, I hope it's a reality. Amen. I pray that it's a reality. But it can't be in us as a church unless we are experiencing that individually. A move of God's Spirit in all of our lives. And every day that we're being directed of the Lord and used of the Lord. A reputation of life. That we're known for life and for power and a move of the Spirit of God. Why don't we stand together? Hallelujah.